Turn with me to James chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 19 through 21. And we should really like James. It's very straightforward. James is a pastor, and you see a lot in the book of James, this theme here. He says something like, know this, do this, be reminded of this. He says, count it all joy, but he always follows it with something like, my beloved brothers or brothers. So know that his heart is not to beat down the people, but to lead and shepherd the people. And as the reader, we should be reading it that way and hearing it that way as well. So such a great, great book with so many practical things that all of us can relate to. And today we're going to be talking about anger, which I'm sure some of you can relate to as well. So James chapter 1, starting with verse 19, he says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. That's God's word. So let me pray just for my heart this morning and ours as we get into this and hear what James has to say about anger. God, just thank you for your word. Thank you that your word talks about real stuff to real people like us. And as we think about something like anger and as you're encouraging us to mature in our discernment of righteous anger and unrighteous anger, I just pray that in the midst of all this, Lord, that grace would be the shining moment in this, that we would see your grace, Lord, that you've given us your gospel, that we can be transformed and redeemed people who are not continual war makers, continual people who have to be right, continual people that have to punish to feel good about ourselves, but that we can be peacemakers and that we can forgive and that we can trust and that we can love other people. So I thank you for that, Lord. Let the gospel be so true in our hearts this morning that we believe that and walk forward and trust in that. Pray this in your name. Amen. Well, in the series, if you've been here for a couple weeks, the series on James is titled The Walk. And with it, we are really trying to focus on some specific themes that James is trying to walk the reader through in this book. And really, like I've said a couple of minutes ago, that for James, faith is not like this abstract idea. All right? It's not just some out there theological idea, but faith has its real effect in the real world. And so for James, he's walking us through all these numerous practical examples. And so we've talked about how we've talked about money. We've talked about trials. We've talked about how faith allows us to endure in the midst of trials. Talk about how faith it drives us to call on God for wisdom. Today, we're going to talk about how faith controls our words and how we respond in our anger. And then we're going to get into talking about how faith helps us help those people in need, helps us love those people who are less fortunate, all those things. And so faith is real. It's not abstract. And so we're going to walk through just the practical implications of that. And so in James chapter 1, verse 19 through 21, what we just read, the theme we are focusing on today is anger. And so James is going to walk us through really like what I want to say, the what, the why, and the how of anger, and show us in the end how faith transforms us and redeems us from being war makers to peacemakers in the midst of interpersonal conflict. And so as we think about anger and think about that, like why does James and the Bible, for that matter, talk so much about anger? If you read through the Bible, there's many, many different places where the Bible talks about anger. Proverbs has a lot of things to talk about anger. So why does James use the opportunities anger to teach the reader here? And the real simple answer, and I think you guys all could probably figure it out, is the simple answer is that when a person is angry, The human heart is just, it's just laid out on the table, right? There's no hiding it. When you're angry, there's no way, it's out there. It's out there for everybody to see. And so what a great opportunity then for James to dissect it, to dissect what is the motivation behind your anger, and then talk about how anger can be redeemed and transformed. And he wants to continually show us how the gospel, and I'm going to say this again, is going to transform us from being war makers to peacemakers. That as we get angry, it's out there, and we can actually talk about it. And if you look at anger, and we think about anger in our modern culture today, there's really two drastic extremes. The one extreme that we probably see just in our, you know, modern culture is that anger is neither good or bad, it just is. All right, anger just is. It's neutral. There's nothing going on. It's not very deep. It's just this response to something's in front of us. It's really on the surface. It's just, we use that term, right? I just had to get it off my chest. Right? That's the one extreme of anger. The other extreme of anger, and a lot of times, I think unfortunately it comes from the Christian community that says, anger is bad, right? You must never get angry because you must be above any type of emotional reaction, right? We must have a controlled and stoic reaction to everything we encounter. And those are really the two extremes of anger. But hopefully we can see and we can discern that both these are incorrect. That anger goes much deeper than the surface. Hopefully we all agree with that. And that anger, what I want to say, is a window into what is actually going on inside the heart of the person. And it really gives a true picture about what the person values most. Anger is not neutral, right? Anger is not neutral. It is giving a picture of what is going on inside the heart. And it is telling us what that person values the most. Also, though, anger is a natural God-given response that we are supposed to have to some things that we experience in this world. It's natural. It's God-given. We are supposed to be angry about some things. Amen? And so we must grow and mature in our discernment about the difference between good and bad anger, or what the Bible will call righteous or unrighteous, or anger of man or anger of God. And so we have to grow in that. We have to mature in that. We have to discern, is my anger godly or is my anger sinful? And James, like all good pastors here, he knows the importance of getting anger right. Anger can be pretty toxic if done in the wrong way. So he knows the importance of getting anger right, so he's going to walk the reader through this as a good shepherd. And I think before we go on, though, we have to continually be reminded of what is the purpose of this letter. That as we look at the themes last week of temptation, and we talked about money, and now we're talking about anger, what is the purpose of this letter? And James reminds us of this in chapter 1, verse 2 and 4. And he says this, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." And anger is going to be an opportunity. It's going to be a trial for us, how we respond. Because what is the purpose of James when he's talking about it? He's saying, "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." And so when James is walking through the reader through these things, and as we talk about anger this morning, that's one thing he's saying. He's saying, remember that this is another opportunity for your faith to be tested. And as your faith is tested, it will mature. It will produce steadfastness. And that's the goal. That's the goal of James the pastor. That's the goal of the gospel. That is the power of the gospel working through us, that we would be maturing, that we would be growing in maturity, that we would be, as the Bible say, being sanctified. And so I think it's important that we look at this under that perspective to make sure that We don't just think about anger as this select thing. So let's talk about what James has to say. First of all, verse 19. And I think I have up here, it says, hear, speak, and respond. So hear, speak, and respond. Very clear, he says this, know this, my beloved brothers. So he's talking to real people, real believers, real people like us in the church. And he's saying, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And I think this is a very clear and straightforward statement. But the emphasis here is really on the speed of the actions. He says, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And since anger is such a complex emotion, you know, we need to continually learn to discern the difference between, is our anger righteous or sinful? And the best way to mature in anything in life, and especially to mature in our in this process of interpersonal conflict, is to go at it slowly, right? Go at it slowly. And this is what he says. He says, first of all, be quick to hear. He does say be quick about something, but it's be quick to hear. So first of all, we need to be good listeners, right? Good listeners. But let's ask ourselves that question. You know, you can think about that last interpersonal conflict you had. Does everybody have it in their head? Shouldn't take that long, right? That last interpersonal conflict you had in your head. Let me ask you this question. Were you open to listen to the other person, or were you too busy preparing your argument in your head? Were you open to listen to what the person had to say, or were you too busy preparing the argument in your head? And that's one thing that James is saying. He's saying, be quick to listen. Be quick to hear. Be a good listener. It's okay. It's okay. You don't have to hurry into this. Secondly, he says, be slow to speak. You know, have you taken the time to hear what the other person has said and discerned its meaning? And I don't know about you, but I'm what they call an internal processor. Right, so when I actually open my mouth, I probably spent a while. I'm not going to put a time on it, but I spent a while thinking about it in my head. Okay, so when I actually say something new, I've had the conversation in my head already. Some people are what we call external processors. All right, I happen to be married to one. And so it's interesting that external processors, they do that thinking out loud, right? It's very stressful for an internal processor to, wait, well, you want to do what? No, I'm just processing. Well, do that inside your head like everybody else. But anyway, I'm not going to pass judgment on external processors, but James does say here in the text, be slow to speak. Listen to what the other person has to say, discern its meaning, and then be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. And then lastly, he says, be slow to anger. All right, and here's the thing about anger, that there is a difference between righteous and unrighteous anger. There is a difference between anger of God or righteous anger and sinful anger. And sometimes it is very difficult for us to tell the difference. And sometimes we can start out responding in a good way, in righteous anger, and then it can morph into sinful anger. And that's why the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 26 says this. It says, be angry and do not sin. You guys ever thought about that? It does say be angry. Be angry about those things that are right to be angry about. There are things that we should be angry about. There is injustice in this world. There is a long list of things that we should be very angry about. But it says, be angry and do not sin. Because our anger can turn into sinful anger very easily and very quickly. And so we need to have this heart and this approach that we are always assessing if our anger is a valid response to the situation. And we have to do that slowly, right? So this is what the book of Hebrews says about discernment. And I think it's very good here. In chapter 5 of Hebrews, and I'll just read it for you. You don't have to turn there. It says this. It says, first of all, he starts out interesting in verse 11. And he's talking about people who are immature and how they should be mature. But he says this, the author says this in verse 11. Since you have become dull of hearing, isn't that, that's a great line. It's a great statement. Since you become dull of hearing, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. And he's using this metaphor, right, of, you know, little babies still, like, you know, little babies should grow up to start eating steak, right, not just meat. It says, verse 13, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature. And listen to what he says here. For those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And so he's talking about this idea there that our powers of discernment are trained. And they're trained by constant practice. And so as we think about our interactions in the past, and we think about those times that we've engaged in the emotion of anger, are our powers of discernment being trained? Are we using those as opportunities to mature and be trained? Are we seeing those as cases where we're thinking about, am I responding correctly in this situation? And are we seeing it as a testing of our faith that should produce steadfastness, that should cause us to rely more on the power of the gospel? Or are we just continually saying, well, this is just my natural response, so just going at it, I'll deal with it later? Because he's saying we should be trained in our powers of discernment, and we're trained by constant practice. And if you're like me, we have constant practice, right? Unless you're living on an island by yourself, you are having constant practice with interpersonal conflict. Amen? And I guess we say amen because we know that through that we get to mature. We don't always say amen in the midst of it, right? It's not very fun, especially right after it. We're like, ugh, blew that again. So let's talk a little bit about this idea of righteous anger versus unrighteous anger. Like we said already, the Bible does talk about anger a lot, and it very clearly distinguishes the difference between righteous anger and sinful anger, or it uses the words the anger of man and the anger of God. So the question is, how do we know the difference? And so first off, we see in the Bible that God loves us. We sang about that song, God loves us. And God, like a good father, is angry at what harms us. Because he loves us, he is angry at what harms us, his children. And God is angry at sin, and he was so angry at sin that he sent his own son to die for it. And then he gives us the Spirit, and the Spirit's role is to continually convict us of our sin and transform us and redeem us from a person who is defined by our sin. And God does that because he's so angry at that what harms us, he has done all this stuff in love. And the Father is angry at what harms us. And just like as we are dads out there, or we are mothers out there, I think we understand that, right? That we get angry at what harms our children, and we want to do something about it. And so to understand God's love for us, we really need to understand God's anger towards that which harms us. And he shows us that. He says, this is harmful to this person, so we should be angry about it. Those things that are harmful to people, we should be angry about. Right? We should be angry about domestic violence. We should be angry about that, right? We should be angry about all this other stuff. We should be angry about that. On the other hand, though, the anger of man is always seen, and hear this, the anger of man is always seen as a response to block goals. Unrighteous anger, or the anger of man, is always seen as a response to block goals. And in all cases of sinful anger, there are always specific lies and desires that are being blocked. And so as those lies and desires are being blocked, our natural response is to be angry about that. And so I want us to walk through a couple of tests here, how we can look at, as we can continue to be trained and discern if our anger is being righteous or sinful. And biblical counselor and author David Pollison came up with this list, so I'm borrowing it from him. But he says this, we'll go through these tests here. So how do I know if my anger is being righteous or sinful? So test one, do you get angry about the right things? Do you get angry about the right things? And we always know that anger addresses a perceived wrong. We get angry because we perceive something is wrong. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, did you perceive it correctly? You know, the anger always reflects our definition of what we think is good and bad or right and wrong. Are your definitions correct? Test two, and I'll put test two and test three together. Do you express anger the right way? How controlled is your anger? And the big question for us to ask ourselves is, does your anger act to condemn? Does your anger act to condemn or offer help? And David Pollison says this in a quote, he says, anger must be directed towards destroying the problem, not toward destroying the person. Ouch, that's, you know, because a lot of times we think about our anger, I think maybe we start out wanting to destroy the problem, but a lot of times it transforms into destroying, you know, there's carnage along the way, right? And so our hope is to destroy the problem. That's our goal. So are we destroying the problem or are we destroying the person in the midst of that? Test number four, what motivates your anger? What motivates your anger? And so if anger is a window into what is going on inside your heart and it gives a true picture of what we value most, you need to ask yourself this question in the midst of anger. What do you really want in this situation? What do you really want? What is the goal of you getting angry about this? Do you want what's good for the person, or do you want to seek revenge and justice? And then test five, is your anger primed and ready to respond to another person's habitual sins? Is it primed and ready? Are you just, do you have your guns cocked? Are you ready? Because this is what Ephesians 4 says. Again, it says, be angry and do not sin. And then this is what it continues on. It says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. And this is why the Bible is instructing us to deal with issues of forgiveness daily. Because if you don't, the wrongs that people do in the past are going to continue to motivate your responses today. All right, so James, verse 20, he says this, what is the fruit then of righteous anger versus unrighteous anger? And he says this in verse 20, for the anger of man, sinful anger, unrighteous anger, does not produce the righteousness of God. It should be the next slide. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So the test is, what is the effect of your anger? What is my anger producing in this situation? Is that what I really want? Is that what God really wants? Is that what God really wants in this situation? What is the effect? What is the fruit of my anger? Verse 21. So now, James now is going to walk us through this transformation from being a war maker to a peacemaker. And he says this in verse 21, very practically, what is the process from maturing from being a war maker to a peacemaker? And he says this, therefore, Because of all this thing is true, what we just talked about, he says, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Very clearly, James walks us through this process of transformation and redemption. And he says, how do we grow in our maturity towards discernment of what is righteous and what is unrighteous? He says, the process is biblical daily repentance. Biblical daily repentance. He's not saying this is a one-time thing and then you get it right. Because he's actually talking to people who already are walking with God. He's already talking with people who already have received the gospel and are living life. So he's not saying that just because you have accepted his word that it's done. Repentance is a daily process. And this is what he says. He says, first of all, put away. Put away. He says, reflect and repent of those lies, desires, and block goals that are driving your anger. Put those things away. Be honest with what those idols are and put them away. The Bible talks a lot about talking about clothes, right? Taking off and putting on. In this way, put away. And there's this picture, right, that we would take those off and put those away. That call those things what they are. They are lies and desires and block goals that are driving my anger, that are driving me to be angry in these situations. And then he says, secondly, receive. Put away this, receive. Receive with meekness the implanted word. And receive the gospel. And he's already talked about that in James verse 18 as he's talking to this group. He's saying in verse 18, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So he's already talking to these people that's saying this is already true about you. You've already received the gospel. You are already walking with God. So he says, once again, continually receive the gospel daily. That's why we need to be preaching the gospel to ourselves daily. We need to be reminded of the gospel daily. My wife is good at that to me. She preaches the gospel to me daily, hourly, minutely. All right? Because I believe lies and desires and goals that are jacked up. And my natural response to those is, because they get blocked, right? Some reason all my lies, desires, and block goal, all my lies, desires, and goals don't always, everybody doesn't always give them to me. So I get angry. But they're lies and not very good desires. And so I need to be reminded of the gospel. The gospel, the Bible is about the gospel that forgives and changes angry people. Amen? The gospel changes angry people. We have a list of them in the Bible. We look at the life of Paul, right? Paul was an angry person. The gospel changed him. The gospel changes us. And you know how it does it? It gives us a list of alternatives to being angry. It says, because of the gospel, we can trust, we can forgive, we can be patient, we can be content. Does anybody struggle with contentment? Yes, we can be content. We can seek justice, we can be peacemakers because of the gospel. And listen to this. Listen to this statement. The gospel gives us, and I'm preaching this to myself first, the gospel gives us much bigger goals than being right or winning. Amen? Because I want you to think about it. A lot of times when we respond in anger, it's about being right or winning. And the gospel gives us much bigger goals than that. And I need to be reminded of that daily. Because that's not always the first thing that I think about in the midst of interpersonal conflict. And then he finishes with giving us the outcome. What is the outcome? He says, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And he uses this term, save your souls, and he's using it as the synonym to that would be redeem and transform your souls to be more like Jesus. That is what the gospel is doing. As you receive it with meekness, as you put away these lies and continually and daily repent of those lies and receive the gospel, it is continually saving your souls. It is continually redeeming and transforming your souls to be more like Jesus. That God is creating in the heart of a believer, a person who's going to be wise, discerning, self-controlled, and loving. A person who's going to be a peacemaker instead of a war maker. And so we need to trust and lean on these truths today. Amen. So, very clear. But also very practical. So I want to pray for us, pray for my heart as well. I get so many opportunities to practice this. Pray that we would have just the same perspective here of God, of that we are in a process of being transformed daily. And so let me pray for us as the band. I want to invite the band up and Chris. God, thank you so much for, first of all, your word that teaches us and instructs us on things that we can relate to, Lord. That we can relate to interpersonal conflict and we can relate to anger. And I pray that, Lord, just your word would be clear this morning. But Lord, in the midst of all this, help us see the forest through the trees, Lord, that your goal is for us, that through the gospel that we can continue to be sanctified to be more like you, Lord, that is that we get to have opportunities to practice discernment and trust and repentance and forgiveness. You give us so many tools that are so much better than the cheap ones that we hold on to. So help us put those things away, Lord, and help us receive daily the good news of the gospel, because it is the best news. And help us that shape how we live our lives and how we respond to others. And help our goals be like you for people, Lord, that we our anger should be there to help others, not to destroy them. And Lord, we repent when our anger is meant to destroy people. We repent of that, and we accept that we can be forgiven of that as well. I just pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.